Well, to achieve big cuts in carbon pollution over coming decades, most economists and even sections of business, in fact, a lot of business leaders, accept that a price will eventually have to be placed on carbon emissions. But attempts to put a price on carbon pollution has been fraught with political division and scaremongering for the better part of a decade now. And now a long-awaited review of the government's climate change policy is opening that can of worms again. As part of that review, the Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg, indicated the government was once again prepared to consider an emissions intensity scheme for electricity generators.
We know that there's been a large number of bodies that have recommended an emissions intensity scheme, which is effectively a baseline and credit scheme.
So any chance of that applying?
Well, we'll just wait and see. We want to hear from the experts as to the lowest cost of abatement. That's what we owe the Australian households and Australian businesses.
That's the Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg, speaking with Kim Landers on AM yesterday. But just the mere mention of an emissions trading scheme or some kind of de facto carbon price caused an immediate reaction from within the coalition, some MPs and senators seeing red, not least Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce.
We don't support a carbon tax. We've said that quite clearly. So, I don't know, they can investigate. They can investigate possibilities. We're honouring our commitments. We're going to meet our commitments to the Paris Protocol. In fact, we're going to outdo it.
That's Barnaby Joyce speaking on 7:30. 7 years ago, economist Danny Price designed a carbon pricing model for the electricity sector. It was called then a baseline and credit scheme. And he designed that for the then opposition leader, Malcolm Turnbull. Malcolm Turnbull at the time described it as cheaper, greener and smarter than Labor's proposed emissions trading scheme. Danny Price is the founder and managing director of Frontier Economics. Danny Price, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning.
Danny, what is an emissions intensity scheme? How would it work? Can you explain it so that everyone listening can get a handle on it?
Yeah, for sure. Look, the probably best to start with what we had before. Before what we had was a scheme that effectively taxed every tonne of carbon right across the economy to try and swing the economics from high emission activity to low emission activity. And it certainly can achieve that. And in the process, it raises, you know, huge quantities of tax revenue. Mm-hmm. And that creates its own problems. The alternative way of doing it is effectively having a scheme of whereby just narrowing it to the electricity sector, effectively having high emission generators providing credits to the low emission generators to improve the economics of low emission generators. And that has a fundamentally different effect in the economy. First of all, it doesn't raise any taxes for the government. There's no revenue to the government whatsoever, so it can't be called a carbon tax. And it has much lower impacts on prices. In fact, applied to Australia, it actually puts prices lower than they would otherwise be. So it can't be claimed that prices will skyrocket, because in fact prices will moderate.
Can you explain that? Because you've heard the reaction, I'm sure, in the last 24 hours from a number of coalition MPs. We heard Barnaby Joyce there, who's the Deputy Prime Minister, saying no carbon tax. We've got Senator Cory Bernardi saying this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. We've had Cabinet Minister Christopher Pyne saying we've got absolutely no intention of returning it to a carbon tax. So immediately it goes to that scare campaign. Sure. You just said it's not a carbon tax. How can it be that an emissions intensity scheme, which is what it is called these days, doesn't cause any price rises? Because it is asking some of the dirtiest energy producers to pay penalties if they don't clean up, isn't it?
Yeah, so somebody always pays. There's no such thing as a costless scheme to reduce emissions. It has to cost somebody something. And in this case, it's the high emission generators that effectively pay the low emission generators. So it's not trying to swing the economics around by driving prices up. It swings the economics around by driving the cost of low emission, high-tech generators down. And so, in fact, we end up with this sort of moderating effect on prices. So it can't possibly be called a tax, because the government doesn't get a single cent out of the entire scheme. So it's not as if the government's getting anything out of it. And because of the way in which it works, the prices are very moderate. Even in the very long run, it's a very moderate effect. But in the short term, because of all the extra capacity from clean generators coming onto the market, it creates a a pro-competitive effect on the market, and that moderates prices.
Well, let's go to that, because the South Australian Premier Jay Weatherill said yesterday his government would like to see a scheme like this implemented soon, because he says it encourages renewables while still ensuring baseline stability. Can you explain that for us? How would it encourage a secure baseload power supply?
Well, the Premier is dead right, because what part of the problem is under the current renewable energy target, what it's doing is it's pushing out the sort of the generators that provide a lot of system security benefits. Mm. In this case, the scheme is putting on cleaner thermal generators at the same time as allowing renewable generators. So there's a lot more generators that will be actually running on the system, but it will be progressively replacing the high emission to low emission. So we end up with a more stable system because there's just more generators that are actually ticking away.
So you think people will come into the market because the economics of it stack up for them now?
Exactly. At the moment, the gas generators, and take South Australia, it's a very good example. Mm. The gas generators there find it a very uncertain world in terms of whether they should turn on or not, even when the price is higher than their own cost. But there's great risk that might swing around at any moment because the wind could be blowing and they're not blowing. Mm. What this scheme does is give them a lot more certain revenue, which means that they will be much more certain about running and having those generators run more often, and pushing out the brown coal generators in Victoria will stabilise the system. So we end up with a market where we have lower emissions, a more secure system, because we've got more generators running more often. And lower prices.
It would make it a more even playing field for renewables without the RET as well. So you wouldn't need the RET playing into that.
That's quite right, Fran. So this is the thing that the renewable energy generators who have got no future after 2020 can participate as part of the scheme. They can compete on an equal basis to high emission gas or any other technology for that matter, and then even the opportunity for demand side can participate. And this all deepens competition in the market and lowers prices.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 17 to 7. Our guest is Danny Price, Founder and Managing Director of Frontier Economics. Danny Price, forgive me if I'm wrong, but isn't this emissions intensity scheme almost the same as the baseline and credit scheme, if not identical, that you devised and was adopted so enthusiastically by Andrew Robb and Malcolm Turnbull back in 2009 in opposition? You must feel like you've come full circle.
Well, it is the same.
And the scaremongering goes on now from those people who once supported it.
Yeah, look, the scheme that we're talking about now is the same scheme which we put together for both Malcolm Turnbull and Nick Xenophon. In fact, it's the same scheme that the Labor Party took to the last election. It's got a lot of support from the Climate Change Authority, the Business Council of Australia, the CSIRO. It's a scheme that's got broad support, but it's taken people, it's taken people a little time to understand it. It's an Australian innovation. We like innovation. It's good. And so people get a bit nervous when they haven't seen it before, but it's in structure, it's extraordinarily simple.
And it's not economy-wide, is that right?
No, this is just applied. This is just applied to the electricity sector, and I think that's part of the other problem is that last time round the government took a scheme which applied right across the nation, and I guess my own view is that one size doesn't fit all. You need to take a more bespoke approach, and I think that's precisely what the government talked about yesterday. And so this is really just for the electricity sector.
We're out of time, but can I just ask you, given that you did devise this for the opposition so many years ago, are you disappointed to see the response from so many very senior coalition MPs now?
Look, I think it's just a case of understanding. I think once people understand that, in fact, it's very different to a tax, not a tax at all, because the government's not getting any revenue. In fact, I think I heard Corey Bernardi's comments on for the reasons that we developed this scheme. I share his view. I didn't like the way that the previous arrangement worked. I thought it was unnecessarily expensive and ineffective, whereas this will actually be, it will work, and it has very moderate effects on the economy. In fact, it has quite positive effects on the economy. So I think once people understand it, And if people had an open mind to it, they'll see that there's great virtue in the scheme.
Danny Price, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Danny Price is the founder and managing director of Frontier Economics, and he's also a member of the Independent Climate Change Authority. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 14 minutes to 7.
From the founder of Apple to comedian Andy Samberg, from the head of Netflix to the man who built the World Wide Web, from the creators of the record-breaking podcast Serial to startups that are breaking ground right here in Australia. If you want to hear from the movers and the shakers, media, technology and culture around Australia and the globe, there is literally one show. It also happens to be the most literally named show. Download this show with me, Mark Fennell. Media, technology, culture. Find it on the RN website now or on the ABC Radio app.